A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Friday Views, brought to you by Yahoo Sports Canada. My name is Iman. I'm joined by Yasmin. You guys already know what to do. Hit the like, subscribe, share with your friends, all that good stuff. Yasmin, it's been a minute since we've seen some Raptors basketball. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, we were just talking about how whenever All-Star break comes, it's like really hard to get into the second half of the season. So I just wanted to start and get through so we can get to playoff basketball. Because I don't know, I feel like you get the highs of the regular season and then it reaches this peak at All-Star break and then just comes down immediately after.
You know what it is? We've all gotten like our slandering out the way early on. And now you just want them to prove it. All season, you've been like, wait till the playoffs. And now you're like, February, March, and then April. Like, it feels so long before we can actually see what these teams in the East can do. But we did just have a nice break from basketball. Basketball got into action yesterday. The Raptors get into action tonight, which we'll be previewing in just a little bit. But before we get into that, we had the All-Star game and All-Star weekend. What are your thoughts on All-Star?
I thought it went well. It was quite boring. I feel like the
game. Are you an All-Star fan?
Pardon?
Like, are you a fan of the All-Star weekend? The festivities?
I'm going to say I'm generally indifferent towards it. Like, I love the highlight moments, but I feel like there weren't too many. Like, I feel like the complaint this season, this year, aside from the actual game itself, was that it was there's just a few moments worth highlighting, whether they were good or bad. Like, I don't know. I feel like the skills challenge was kind of weird, the setup of it.
So weird.
It was very strange.
Here's the thing. Let me tell you what skills isn't. Shooting. That's just like, I mean, shooting is a skill, but like there is a shooting competition. When I'm watching this skills competition, it's not about them shooting. And also, you had so many non-shooters. Darius Garland might have been the only shooter, the only guy who can actually take. I think he was the only person outside of Giannis that had a three-point percentage higher than 30%. Every single person there had a three-point percentage in the 20s.
Yeah, the recreation of the iconic shots was just strange in the what was that challenge even called? It wasn't the skills challenge. What was it? It was before the skills challenge happened. It was right after the Rising Stars game, which I like the format of that, like the mini tournament thing.
Yeah,
was kind of cool.
Can I just interrupt? Because even before we get to the Rising Stars celebrity.
Oh, that was
cut that in to a quarter. I don't want to watch more than a quarter of celebrity basketball. Also, WNBA players are not celebrities to be playing in an exhibition game with like Justin Bieber. Like, that's just like feels a little disrespectful to people whose professional career it is to play basketball. I have my thoughts on that. But beyond that, I don't want to watch that many minutes of that game.
It was just strange. Like, it would be kind of cool if they had a exhibition game where it's just for the novelty, where they kind of drafted NBA players and WNBA players to play on the same teams. I feel like that would be really cool.
Like they used to. Do you remember how they used to do that on Saturday nights? It wasn't like a game, but it was like the shooting stars thing that they had. Do you remember? It would be like teams. So you would have like maybe four teams and there would be a current player, a former player of that team, and then a WNBA player from the same like affiliate from the same city. So like if you had LeBron as a current Laker,
they brought that back,
right?
Because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it would help boost the viewership of the, like just exposing them to a new audience too. It would be so cool. But other than that, it was just a lack of moments. Whereas when I think of All-Star game, I remember the iconic times, I remember like the record points that they have in the All-Star games, and I remember specific moments and all that, but like, I don't know, there was just a lack of that this season. And the celebrity game was just like, what's the point at this point? Like, that no one watches it. It's the, you can hear a pin drop in the arena when that goes on.
So boring.
It all culminated into the dunk competition.
I was gonna ask you, speaking of scrapping things, that's something that most people seem to want scrapped or moved around. There's so much drama with it. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if it's a case of players not being invited to do the dunk competition and just refusing to do so. I don't know if they want to deal with the, I don't know if it's like a extra pressure because of the audience that's watching. The people are so critical for All-Star Weekend because they're often seeing players they don't watch regularly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're like, for example, like we saw in the, it wasn't the skills challenge, but it was like when they were recreating iconic shots. We saw Scottie Barnes miss that little floater from the basket. Shot. Him and Tyrese Maxey could not get it. And a lot of people, like the Raptors have almost, I think they have one national TV game that already happened.
Yeah.
For the entirety of the season. So people are just like, whoa, number four pick is trash, basically. So obviously there's going to be a lot of judgment. This is the first instance for some casual viewers of them seeing certain players. And I guess a lot of players don't want that extra attention being on national television. So maybe they just elect not to engage in the dunk competition. And people are very, very tough on you. So I feel like you don't get instances of stars engaging in that as much as it used to be. I feel like it used to be like a top player quite a bit that would be involved. And then now they have like really young guys participating and they don't use like... Even though it doesn't go well, I really miss the utilizing of props and everything just to add to the novelty. Because to me, like, I like it when things go poorly as well. Like John Collins' failed airplane theme dunk to me is like a highlight moment in dunk history, despite how terrible it was. And I feel like we're missing that television quality in general. So I just feel like it was just a bore, even for people who just want to see some entertainment.
See, I agree with you. You know what's interesting to me about your point on stars not doing the dunk contest? And, you know, for years, it's been, why won't LeBron do that? Now he's 50, but like when he was in his 20s, that was kind of the thing because Kobe's done it, right? Like all of the, and they, granted, they did it when they were much younger and LeBron is LeBron, but I think John Morant has maybe made some comments about like maybe you know, the voting being a little, I don't know. There's all sorts of things.
That's a good point.
All sorts of things. But you know what's interesting to me? And maybe it has to do with the dunk contest being subjective and the three-point shootout not being subjective. But you make baskets or you don't. The three-point shootout always has stars. There's never a lack of stars. You've seen Curry do it a bunch of times, you know, Kat just won it. Like you have All-Stars, Fred VanVleet in it. You always have All-Stars in it, whereas the dunk contest, you don't. But here's the thing. If you are elite and you put on a show, whether it be Vince Carter or Dwight Howard or any of the guys who actually stole the show in those moments, you get cemented as a household name. Oh, and I think that really does help for maybe some of the young guys who have yet to break out, like Zach LaVine had it, right? Like there is this like household name moment that you become when you're able to put on a show like that.
Eric Gordon like is still writing that.
For sure.
Yeah, he's called Eric Gordon, role player. He's still, you know, people have, you know, ideas of what he could have become and everything, but still he's riding the high the of that All-Star dunk competition performance. So I guess now, they don't want to roll the dice. I guess it's less of a controlled environment with the voting and everything, and they don't want to risk not being selected. But at the same time, like, if people remember the moments, you know what I mean? Like, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon, the voting was very controversial. And I don't know if we should have Dwayne Wade involved in this anymore.
DJJ, oh my God, I can't believe he stole it.
I don't think he should be involved in it anymore. But if that's a deterrent, they should like get rid of him on the voting table.
He was not there this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, that's
Dwayne
that
Wade
true,
was not
yeah.
Dwayne Wade was not allowed to vote and should never be allowed to vote because Aaron Gordon was robbed. But beyond that, I a lot of people keep talking about like switching the order around. And I do think part of it is what we just discussed with stars being in the three-point shootout. And here's the thing, that three-point contest, always fun. Like, no matter what, it's always fun. What I will say, one thing that I think has ruined it is the Mountain Dew ball. I don't know if Mountain Dew is a sponsorship, but like, I don't know if you're a sponsor, but like, why is it worth 3 points? You know what I mean? Like, if you miss three baskets, but you hit that, that's just, like, to me, it just takes everything away. It's weird. I don't like it. If you're going to include it, push it back a little bit. It feels like it's still a little bit too close. So I don't know.
I feel like players rush. They rush the set prior to the Mountain Dew ball. Cause I feel like in their mind, they're like,
oh, I'm going to make
this. I want the D3, you know what I mean? And so I feel like kind of mentally messes up with the order.
Yeah. It's not even that deep. If you like insist on having a Mountain Dew sponsorship, make the Money Ball the Mountain Dew Ball. Just change the name. Nobody cares that it's called the Money Ball. Call it the Mountain Dew Ball. Make it worth 2 points. I don't need a third basketball there worth 3 points. I think it just turns everything off where like people are like 29 points in the finals, the highest it's ever been. Well, duh, you gave him six baskets off of two shots. Obviously it's going to be the highest in terms of points. But anyway, besides that, people want to switch around the dunk contest and the three-point contest. I'm vehemently opposed to this because I think even though the three-point contest is consistently really good, the dunk contest is good, it is the best moment of All-Star Weekend. And it's something that we talk about for years on years on years on end. So I think just for the chance that it could be good, you still have to make it your closer on All-Star Night.
Yeah, it makes or breaks the All-Star Weekend, I feel like. That's what I mean about moments, and we just haven't gotten that. This season, even last season, I don't remember too much. I remember the vote issue at the end of it. Yeah. So
Aaron Gordon was great in it, as always.
Maybe we do bring it back to bring some theater to the whole world.
In this next question I'm going to ask you, because I have a question for you. If you could pick a Raptor, and I don't want Dwayne Wade voting in any of these, if you could pick a Raptor to participate in the skills competition, in the three-point shootout, and the dunk contest, who would you pick as sort of your three people of representation? And I didn't go all time, but you can go all time with it. I didn't specify current all time. All time feels like Vince. You're just going to put him in for dunk.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Give me someone else. I don't want Vince. It's easy. I need a non-Vince Carter option, and I need three-point shootout. You can give me current. You can give me all time. I don't, up to you how you want to set that rule. Three-point shootout, skills competition, and dunk.
I think I'm going to say, I feel like for the current Raptors, I feel like they're all kind of bad at one thing. The ones who can dunk, I feel like, Fred can't dunk. Do you want Pascal doing the 3-point shootout? OG in the skills competition. Sorry, that was like,
sorry, OG Anunoby, get better soon.
No, that has nothing to do with OG. It's just the thought of it. Like, he's so comical on the court. Pascal would miss the shots, but OG in the skills competition, I feel like it would just have so many highlight moments. But anyway, but I'm gonna actually say OG because I feel like I would want to see that.
Just to watch it.
Just to see it happen, because like, yeah, he'll nail the dunk competition. I feel like we've been calling for that since he was a rookie. 3-point shootout, he's a dead-eyed shooter. He's unfazed by the attention and everything. He's just, you know, in the zone when he's on the court. And then in the skills competition, I want to see that happen. So,
you're ready to laugh again.
For watchability, I feel like that would be the best case scenario for me.
I'm not mad at it. I'd like to see, you know what? I'd like to see how many threes DeMar could get up.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like DeMar can't, it's just a matter of not wanting to take them.
They'll all be foot on the line. I feel like he's going to be disqualified from the 3-point competition because somehow his foot will end up on a line on each shot.
Yeah.
Might happen.
They'd have to put like a little fence or something to block his, like something just to block his feet, a little groove.
No, that's
a little
hilarious. Yes, they would need
DeMar is a good choice because he doesn't take threes, so you can't even call him a bad 3-point shooter. So
he's the range that he has on his shot is not the issue. It's just that he
can take the long twos.
Like, you take a step back. If your foot is on the line that consistently, I feel like you could take a step back more. All right. So, okay, that's good. That's good. Now, the final question about All-Star Weekend before we head into to some Raptors conversations is the Elam ending. That always tends to be a topic of conversation. People seem to really like it, and there's always a push to like bring it into the NBA, you know, and the thought is every game ends on a buzzer beater. For those people who are unaware of what the Elam ending is, essentially you have like a final goal post for how many, for what the final score of the night needs to be. And the team, once the fourth quarter hits, has to reach that goal. So if it's like 120 points, cause you needed, I'm simplifying this by so much. Because a team needs to get to 120 points and it's not about time running out, you don't get that, like, I'm going to foul you because I would prefer, you know, like to either slow down the clock or speed, like whatever it is, you don't get any of that. And every shot ends up in a game winner. Every game ends in a game winning shot. What are your thoughts on the Elam ending?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I feel like it works for the All-Star format because no one plays defense. The Elam ending would have like 3-hour games in an NBA setting. Can you imagine like two defensive-minded teams playing against each other, trying to hit 120 points? They'll be playing, like, the game will start at 7, it ends at 10:30. Like, it's not ending. I feel like there are too many variables for it to be applied to all 30 teams. So
I like it for the idea of, like, there's not going to be a double overtime.
Yeah.
Like grab double overtime
now. Times are so rare anyways.
I know, but like that it doesn't really matter, right? Like the only instance you're going to get that is when the Raptors play the Heat. Like that's the only time you're going to run into this. So like, for me, it's just like, there should, you know, remember that game with like the Blazers and the Nuggets that went into quadruple overtime in the playoffs? There is no need for that, right? Like there's no need for an additional 20 minutes at the end of a 48 minute regulation game.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, so you're suggesting that they apply the Elam ending to the overtime
situation? Yeah, like maybe you can have 5 minutes. Like maybe you can have a 5 minute overtime, but then anything beyond that 5 minute overtime, Elam ending. Like first.
Oh no! Yeah, I agree with that because overtimes are already pretty uncommon. So,
yeah, exactly.
So they happen like a few times every year for each team.
Exactly.
The Raptors went, I think, last season without having any overtime. Right. So, I would agree with that.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. So that's my thought.
First to like 20 points. I think that's totally.
Ooh, 20 is way too much. Oh, sometimes teams get to overtime because the scores are in the 80s.
I feel like, if it's 10 or 15, like one player can just get hot and ruin everything. So
okay, that's why I said double. That's why I said double overtime, because I'm thinking at least still give teams overtimes. Like, because I feel like it'd be too sudden of a move. But once you get into double overtime, first to 10, I don't know, hit your shots, buddy. You should have won it in regulation or overtime. You had two chances.
Yeah. I support it for after regulation in that case.
I think it's a great idea. That's what I mean. I don't think you bring it into a regulation game. No. All right. You're with me on this. Now let's switch gears a little bit. All-Star Weekend is also really fun because you get tons of stories. And it's also really fun because you get like tons of guys interacting with each other, which I think is like great. Like there's like DeMar with Fred VanVleet and Stephen Curry hugging. Yeah, there's just like really fun moments that are great. And anytime you bring LeBron James, there's going to be tons of drama as well. So LeBron James talked to reporters and, you know, he's so great to the NBA for the content that he provides, whether he's playing or not. He told Josh Lloyd of The Athletic, or Jason Lloyd, my apologies, of The Athletic, that the door is not closed on him returning to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, I want your thoughts on that, but I also want to know if any former Raptor who is still an active player could return to this team, who would you want it to be?
Well, for LeBron's comments as of late, and just kind of like pandering a little bit to his Ohio fan base, I think. Like, I don't think LeBron's gonna go to, maybe he would do it, because it complicates it. The fact that it's his hometown complicates it. Because, yeah, he has legitimate reasons to want to go back, just because of all the love and the foundation he has there. But the Cavs being a great team now also helps. It makes it more legitimate of a claim for that to happen. And also, I think this may be perhaps a way of him putting pressure on the Lakers front office to not allow this year to happen again. To not waste his future. But also, like, I never really thought about it, but yeah, LeBron's entering like the twilight of his career. He's setting up for the next act. And I never even considered it until these comments as of late. I'm like, he's thinking already of his next pivot. And, you know, as of late, he's been kind of firmly set on the Lakers. That's like the new team. He wants to be in Hollywood. He wants to pursue and the entertainment industry. But like, perhaps now he feels like he's been there, done that. He got his movie. He got involved in music. Maybe he's kind of over it and wants
to. He has an HBO show.
Sorry?
He has an HBO show.
Right. Yeah. He has his the shop. He has his show. So perhaps he's like, maybe I just go back to my hometown. You know, his kids are growing up. Like, who knows? There are so many factors involved. But yeah, as of a Raptor who's currently active, you said?
Yeah, an active Raptor, someone who's, I mean, you know what? I don't mind scrapping the active, but like, what are we going to do? Pick Hakeem Olajuwon? No, but like, let's do an active Raptor.
An active player in the league right now.
And yeah, not an active Raptor, an active player to join
the Raptors. Let's think. I'm going to take the easy choice. I'm going to say Kawhi Leonard. And you add the fact that like this team is kind of built in his image.
Can I tell you, when I thought of this question, it was 100% DeMar DeRozan answer in my brain. I forgot that Kawhi Leonard played for the Toronto. I completely forgot.
Yeah, like if you add the fact that the team is just so similar to how he's operating, defense first. Offensively literate. The Raptors are ranked like what, 10th in offense? I was shocked when I saw that stat. I'm like, that doesn't add up. This year, I feel like they haven't even hit anywhere near their offensive ceiling. I just see so many things they can improve on. They are running out with Fred VanVleet is like the only legitimate active point guard on the roster.
Fred VanVleet. It helps when you get like twice as many chances at the basket.
Yeah, but like the fact that when I think about it, the guy running the offense is someone whose main critique in the past was that he can't run an offense.
Yeah.
So you think about how they can improve here and there, how players haven't even reached their final forms, how we have a rookie being integrated into the team, how Pascal's growing rapidly, and I still think he can like hit another level as a passer, maybe become a 6 assists per game kind of guy. All those things considered, I'm excited to see what the offense does. So when you think of like adding another guy to it, like the thought of a Kawhi Leonard, someone who's just a go-to scorer on this team is kind of like, yeah, it seems like a no-brainer.
I mean, yeah, and like it's a ridiculous question by me because Kawhi Leonard exists and the Raptors had him on the team. I completely forgot that he existed and I thought, well, the easy answer is...
It was quite brief.
It was quite brief and he hasn't played. He hasn't played basketball in a long time. So, you know, I miss you, Kawhi Leonard. We miss you out there. The Clippers keep chugging away. I don't know words. But okay, so my answer for this without Kawhi Leonard existing was DeMar DeRozan. And
also a fair choice.
I grappled with it for a while and I think maybe I just thought of like players right now and that's why I put in the word active because Kyle Lowry is my favorite Raptor of all time. I think Kyle Lowry is great. I think Raptors having another playmaker, some more shooting. I think Kyle Lowry, we've seen what the defense looks like. And we've seen just like what him and just four guys look like on the court when you watch the Heat when they're rolling. And granted, the Heat have a lot of shooters and the Raptors don't. And the Raptors not having a lot of shooters, having DeMar DeRozan in, there is spacing issues, but he's just been on a tear. And I just wanted to stop and give him some love. And that's the only reason why I thought of, like, even though the fit isn't as nice as having Kawhi Leonard, who is an all-NBA level defender and an elite three-point shooter. Shooter and shot creator and can really do anything DeMar can do just better. Having DeMar, it's not fair. DeMar DeRozan's a better playmaker. But I just wanted to give some DeMar some love because he's been on an MVP type tear. He's been on a historic tear. The numbers that he's putting up, you have records that he's setting that haven't been touched since Wilt Chamberlain, which is ridiculous considering Wilt is a guy who's averaged 50 points in a season before. So what are your thoughts on DeMar's career? What are your thoughts on DeMar DeRozan's season?
It's so cool to see him. I've always, like, ever since he was traded from the Raptors, I was like hoping he'd have a season like this, just so people can see like the talent level that he's capable of and hopefully translates into the postseason, because DeMar is like, he's a wicked basketball player. That's why people were so initially upset at the transaction. So I remember just thinking like, yeah, just DeMar needs to have like an MVP caliber season, and I'll feel less bad about this happening because I know he's capable of it. And he's on a team where they have a, it's not like just some, you know, team that's next up or something. This is a team with legitimate contention, you know, aspirations. So to see him doing it at this level and to see him to have the opportunity to not only win MVP, but to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals, it's unreal. So he's not only just making shots, he's like playing his best basketball, his like holistically, his best offensive basketball period. Like, he is a complete passer. He is like an artist in his footwork. Like, he makes other players kind of just fangirl.
Kevin Durant, almost a decade ago, it feels like now, said that he studies DeMar DeRozan's game to learn his footwork. Like, that's where he gets it from. Like, this is not new with DeMar DeRozan, which I like you pointing out. I think for me, I honestly didn't see this type of a season coming out for DeMar DeRozan, and not because I didn't, because I feel like a lot of people are treating DeMar as if this is like some new revelation, not that he's been this player. He's been better every single year since he's left the Raptors, but what we're seeing right now is something that if you looked at DeMar a few years ago, you should have very well seen that he was capable of. I think for me, a little bit of it is the Bulls seem to be a perfect fit. He's never played with as much spacing as he has now. When Lonzo and Caruso are healthy, just the defense there that they have, their transition offense is also really great because they just get a bunch of steals and they run out when those guys are healthy. But when they're not, DeMar DeRozan, his footwork, his ability to get his shot off wherever he, like, whenever he wants it, wherever he wants it, he is just a straight up bucket getter. There's like no other way to really talk about his game than saying that. But I think for me, I thought the trajectory of DeMar's career was more of that sort of playmaking role, because I was just like, it's going to be difficult for him to be the number one option on a team that has title aspirations, because that's something that the Raptors and Masai Ujiri tried to do year in and year out, and they came to a wall. And I still am very iffy on the Chicago Bulls and how good they are. I don't know how great I think they're going to be, but it was very clear that, like, this fits. And part of that is having another scorer alongside him, like a Zach LaVine, and they complement each other so well. And then you also have Vooch down there. So the Bulls are really fun. But before we go, some bummer of news, because we've been talking so highly about DeMar DeRozan. OG Anunoby. He has fractured his right finger and will be out tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. I'm going to be honest, I can't remember what game it was. It was right before the All-Star break. Now, we don't know when he fractured his finger, but right before the All-Star break, I remember watching the game, and OG Headband One just reminded me of it today on Twitter. He was getting his finger kind of shoelaced up, similar to how DeMar had it, and I don't know which digit it was, so I don't know if it was his ring finger on his right hand or what, but that did happen. So this could be an injury that's happened prior to the break. We don't know. What are your thoughts on OG?
Yeah, it's a bummer. We had a glimpse of how great this team is with everyone healthy. So it just sucks that it's nipped in the bud so immediately after a winning streak and everything. But yeah, OG's like defensively, he's such an anchor for the team, defending centers and everything, and being so versatile. So hopefully they're able to make up for the roles that he plays. He wears many hats defensively on the court. He provides spacing in those second units where they run Pascal, OG, and just a bunch of bench guys who can't shoot, like Precious and Delano and everyone. And those lineups have been phenomenal. Like, they've been so wicked. So I guess the good side is that we get to have Precious start, which is hopefully Precious start instead of Kem, because I really like that starting lineup with Precious in it. But yeah, OG is just so important to the spacing, to the defense. So hopefully they're able to stay afloat during the next stretch, which I believe is a little easier before it gets tough again. Or I don't recall, but
like the Hornets and the Hawks are the next two games, which are teams that are right in the play-in sort of area, yeah, with the Raptors. But the Raptors should feel confident in that they're better than. I would say this is probably, you know, why you bring in a guy like Thaddeus Young. It's another body, yeah, right? Like, so it's going to be huge that the Raptors have more people. It's unfortunate that like Fred might also be out tonight with some knee soreness. And for OG, just looking at the numbers, like, he was shooting terribly in those last few games before the All-Star break. So kind of makes sense that there might have been something wrong with his hand. Like, I don't know. It's all speculation. Yeah. We don't know when he got injured, but just looking at 1 of 5 shooting, you know, that's not very characteristic of an OG Anunoby game. So it makes sense that possibly something was bothering him. I hope it heals. I hope it gets better faster. This is the reason why we have that Young, though. And hopefully, yeah, hopefully the Raptors can stay afloat, because it kind of scares me that the Raptors are so thin, not because it's like, oh, what are they going to do come playoffs, but because when one guy goes down, everyone has to overextend themselves, which means someone, yeah, else is likely to go down as well. So hopefully that's not the case for the Raptors. They face the Charlotte Hornets tonight. Predictions for the game?
Predictions, I think they handle it. The Hornets have, their defense is pretty non-existent, but their offense is it's among the better ones in the NBA. I love seeing LaMelo play. I love seeing how they go about guarding him, because I feel like they throw everything at him. You'll see Pascal, you'll see Fred on him because he has height to him. I want to see Scottie Barnes taking a chance to guard him. But yeah, it's going to be a really challenging game fresh out of the All-Star break. You're playing a young, bouncy team that wants to make flashy moves on you. You have to be on your toes. You do not want lobs thrown right over your head. So yeah, it should be a great matchup.
The Raptors play the Hawks next. If for anyone who wants a preview on that, just copy everything Yasmin just said and paste it in. Replace LaMelo with Trae Young, and everything pretty much is the same besides him having height on him. Bad defense, great offense, fun team. All the same stuff. Thank you so much, Yasmin, for joining me. Thank you, everybody, for checking out another episode of Friday Views.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.